皆さんおはようございます。
Good morning, everyone!
今日お過ごし、過ごしでしょうか？あの雰囲気ですか？
I hope that you're doing well today and as we begin a new week to worship and serve God together.
アドベントの2週目、私たちは神様の平和を覚え、神様が与えてくださった、またこれから与えてくださる平和について考えます。
This is the second week of Advent, a season of anticipation and preparation as we wait for the Christ, Jesus. During this week, our focus is on the peace we've already received and will newly continue to receive from God through Jesus.
本日開きました、イザヤ書の40章は、イスラエルの平和の失われた時代に与えられた一つの希望のメッセージでありました。また、イザヤ書の残りの26章に続く、許しと慰め、そして希望のメッセージのファンファーレ、亡霊、初めの合図とも言える章でありました。
The passage that was just read from Isaiah chapter 40 is the lection for today's message. It's a prophetic word about the hope that God gives to Israel in a time when they have no peace. The last 26 chapters of the book of Isaiah follow a theme of God's comfort, peace, and forgiveness. And chapter 40 serves as the beginning of that entire section.
そのメッセージに耳を澄ます前に、少しだけその頃の歴史を振り返ってみましょう。預言者イザヤの活動した時代は、ユダの王ウジヤ、ヨタム、アハズ、ヒゼキヤの時代。かつてはどの他国もが一目置いていた誇り高きイスラエル王国は、前の時代に内部の権力構想から北と南に分裂、そして民族はバラバラになってしまいました。北イスラエルが今まさにアッシリアによって滅ぼされ、さらに南ユダ王国へと手を伸ばそうと、加えて南西からは力をつけたエジプトが侵略を企て、小国としては全く生きて心地のしない、そんな時代でありました。
Before we really dive into chapter 40, let's give a snapshot of the historical context for this passage. Isaiah served as a prophet to God's people during the reign of four kings: Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. Before this time, in the reign of King Solomon, Israel was regarded as a powerful, wealthy, prosperous, and influential nation by the other nations. However, the power struggles of Solomon's sons and the other leaders led to a nation that was split into two: the northern kingdom of 10 tribes known as Israel, and the southern kingdom of 2 tribes known as Judah. National unity was lost, and the kingdom of Assyria planned to first destroy Israel and then attack Judah, but they only succeeded in Israel's destruction. Then Egypt tried to conquer Judah from the southwest, and since it was a small kingdom, they feared that they couldn't survive.
イスラエルの歴史の中でも、人々は非常に堕落、敗破した時代でもありました。国のリーダー、王や高官は神と偶像を同一のものとし、見極める目、聞き分ける耳を失い、恐れなく盲目のままに、また愚かにその国を導いたのでした。もちろんその元にある民はというと、分別を失い、思い思いの好き勝手な生活をし、心を太らせていました。
Throughout the history of God's people, both Israel and Judah had their fair share of corruption, and they often struggled with a covenant relationship with the one true God. They didn't have eyes to see or ears to hear the truth, so their kings often led the nation as they wanted, and the poor, ungodly leadership influenced the people's own discernment. So the people also disregarded God's teaching, and their hearts became hard and indifferent towards God.
その頃の様子が、イザヤ書では、良いブドウ畑に植えられた実るはずだったけれど、良い実りをしなかったブドウとして、また、ホセア書では、はじめの良き夫を離れて、会員をする妻として、そのように表されています。
Isaiah describes the state that God sees his people in this way when God says this: Why did my vineyard, which I expected to yield good and sweet grapes, yield sour grapes. Or it's also like how Israel is described in the book of Hosea as an adulterous woman who forgot the goodness and the love of her husband.
だから神は何度も向き直るように悪から離れるように正義と慈しみに生きるように使いをそして警告を送ったのでした。しかしその声は届くことなく結果としてイスラエルは多くの厳しい苦難を取らなくてはならなくなりました。
Because of this, God repeatedly sent prophets to the people, urging them to turn back from their evil ways and live righteously and compassionately. Unfortunately, they often failed to listen to the voice and the message of the prophets, so they suffered the consequences of their actions and had to live with punishment.
それらは全ての地を洗い流したノアの時代の洪水、もしくはソドム、ゴモラの町を燃やし尽くした豪華とまではいきませんでしたが、ほとんど跡形もなくイスラエル全土を破壊し尽くすものとなりました。
Though the punishment wasn't usually as extreme as the flood during the time of Noah, nor the sulfur fires that burned all of Sodom and Gomorrah, the consequences were still often very severe, and many times almost destroyed the whole nation of Israel.
シオンの丘にそびえていた神と人との平和と信頼の象徴であったはずのエルサレム神殿は異邦人の好きなままに略奪破壊され、そして約束の地とそこにある人々もすべてされるがままになったのでした。
For example, their holy temple built on Mount Zion in Jerusalem, a symbol of the peace and the trust in their covenant relationship with God, was destroyed and everything inside was stolen. Also, the people lost control of the promised land gifted to them by God, and they were exiled to foreign lands, forced into slavery in the other cultures, or even sometimes killed.
神が離れる光景とは、まさにこういうことを言うのかと思います。平和の失われた暗黒の時代の始まりです。
This was inevitably the result of God removing his hand of protection from them as they willfully walked away from his light. And it was the beginning of another very dark period when all hope and all peace were lost.
それら裁きは、はじめの39章を貫き通して書かれています。その予言は、イザヤの口を通して民にあらかじめ語られていたはずなのです。しかしほとんどの人の心は、固くななものとされたと、イザヤ書にはそのように書いてあります。
That judgment is recorded in the first 39 chapters of Isaiah's prophecy. Isaiah reveals those coming judgments, and yet, the Israelites' hearts were unyielding and disobedient to the word and to the heart of God.
神から離れた民は、結果として国を失い、土地を失い、家を失い、はるか他国バビロニアへ奴隷として連れてこられていました。
So as a result of their sinful turning away from God's will, they were taken by the nation of Babylon into captivity, losing their national identity and freedom, their land, their homes and belongings, and were put into slavery.
この時に人々は初めて気づいたんだと思います。あらかじめ何度も何度も預言者たちを通して伝えられていた忠告を、またその間違いを指摘してくださっていた神様、そしてその真実を、すべてを失うまで、それが実際にすべてその通りを起こし尽くすまで、人々は聞けませんでした。
It was only after experiencing all of that loss in exile that the Israelites finally awakened to what Isaiah and other prophets had spoken and realized again that God's word was true.They realized anew that God was with them, speaking to them through the prophets. And isn't it true throughout all of time, including today, where we don't listen to the word of God or believe its truth until we see its fulfillment and we experience pain or loss that comes from our sin?
このことは、 今を生きる私たちにも同じように言えるかと思いますから、用心深く聞いておきたいです。神様は必ず皆の耳に聞こえるようにお示しになさっていたはずなんです。きっとこの罪は一人だけの罪じゃなくて、国と民全体の罪だったんだと思います。偶像礼拝が慣習化して、町の中では好きなように生きる人々が溢れている。神様なんて知ったこっちゃない、ご隠居迷え、そんな世の風習だったんだと思います。
We could say this about ourselves too. So I want us to really listen carefully and respond to the word of God in today's message from Isaiah. God spoke to his people through the prophets, and they had the chance to listen and obey. The fact that they couldn't or didn't listen and obey is not the fault of just one person alone. It was the sin of the whole nation, as they chose to replace God with idol worship in their priorities and in their way of living, and decided to live conveniently as it suited and as it comforted them, rather than responding to God's way and living according to His word and to His will.
私たちはどうでしょうか。唯一の神様を、真実の神様だけを崇める。そしてそのように勇気を持って神様を第一と選択し、その言葉のうちを生きる。簡単でないことは皆さんご存知であると思います。また神様が私たちにすでに与えてくださっている忠告の数々を私たちは真面目に聞いているでしょうか。それが全て起こってから気づくようでは、ここにある聖書の事実から何も学ぶことがなかった愚かなものということになります。
So how about us? Are we fully devoted to and in submission to God? Not only in worship on Sundays, but also in the way that we live and speak and treat others? Do we find confidence in our covenant relationship with God? Is our lifestyle consistent with and built on the foundation of God's word? And are we listening seriously and responding to its prophecies and promises? We all know it's not easy to live and to be like that. We also know from Scripture and from the Israelites' own example that if we wait too long to heed those warnings, that there is a coming judgment. And then as a stubborn and wicked people, we can't receive the truth gifted to us, which instead promises blessing and salvation.
しかし、ここで話は終わりません。
Thankfully, though, it doesn't end here. There's more than that bleak ending.
私たちの神様は恵み深く、どこまでも憐れみ深いお方です。神様は私たちの戸を叩き続けてくださる方です。私たちがどこにあってもその場所を探り、どこにいるのかと声を届けてくださる方です。ですからバビロニアに離散した迷える羊たち、打ちひしがれたイスラエルの民、一人一人を神様はご存知だったんです。実はもっと言うと、一人一人の名前も、また一人一人の髪の毛の本数もご存知だったんです。
Our God is full of endless mercy and grace. Our God seeks us, knocks on our hearts, and asks where we are. God knew the condition of his broken people, the lost sheep in Babylon, and he knew each person's name and even the number of hairs on their head.
では、イザヤ書の40章の1節から5節を読んでみましょう。慰めよ、私の民を慰めよと、あなたたちの神は言われる。エルサレムの心に語りかけ、彼女に呼びかけよ。苦役の時は今や満ち、彼女の咎は償われたと。罪のすべてに倍する報いを、主の無手から受けたと。呼びかける声がある。主のために、荒れ野に道を整え、私たちの神のために、荒れ地に広い道を通せ。谷はすべて身を起こし、山と丘は身を低くせよ。険しい道は平らに、狭い道は広い谷となれ。 主の栄光がこうして現れるのを憎なる者は共に見る。
Let's again then open to Isaiah chapter 40 verses 1 through 5 and let's see if we can all hear what God says with joy. Comfort. Comfort my people, says your God. With gentle words, tender and kind, assure Jerusalem, this chosen city from long ago, that her battles are over. The terror, the bloodshed, the horror of my punishing work is done. This place has paid for its guilt. Iniquity is pardoned. Its term of incarceration is complete. It has endured double the punishment it was due. A voice is wailing, in the wilderness, get it ready. Prepare the way. Make it a straight shot. The eternal God would have it so. Straighten the way in the wandering desert to make the crooked road wide and straight for our God. Where there are steep valleys, treacherous descents, raise the highway. Lift it up. Bring down the dizzying heights. Fill in the potholes and gullies, the rough places. Iron out the shoulders flat and wide. The Lord will be, really be, among us. The radiant glory of the Lord will be revealed. All flesh will take it in. Believe it. None other than God, the Eternal, has spoken.
しなさい。目を覚まして待っていなさい。私は今すぐあなたのもとに行くよ。安心しなさい。あなたの罪と咎はあがなわれた。あなたの戦いは終わる。そしてその倍のその倍もの報いを受ける。そのように私には聞こえてきます。
Be prepared. Open your eyes. Be awake. Wait and watch. I will come to you soon. Be comforted and be at peace. Because I have redeemed you and your sin is forgiven. Your battle will end. And I will give you a double portion of blessing. This is the reassurance that I hear from God in this passage of Scripture.
の5章の3節4節ですね。貧しい者は幸いです。で、まあ、天の国はその人たちのものであるか。悲しむ者は幸いです。その人たちは慰められるか。その言葉を思います。打ちひしがれていたイスラエルの民にとって、どのようにこう希望の声としてこの言葉が響いたことでしょうか。許し、救い、あがない、そしてその上でさらに良いものまで与えると神様が約束してくださっているんです。
And I'm also reminded of Jesus' own words in Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 to 4, when he says, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted.What a beautiful and hopeful voice for the broken, defeated people of Israel. God promised salvation, restoration, forgiveness, and even a multitude of blessings to his people, including all of us.
また、神様は続けて以前にこうおっしゃっています。6節、8節です。呼びかけよ、と声は言う。私は言う。何と呼びかけたらよいのか、と。憎なる者は皆草に等しい。長らえても全ては野の花のようなもの。草は枯れ、花はしぼむ。主の風が吹きつけたのだ。この民は草に等しい。草は枯れ、花はしぼむが、私たちの神の言葉は欲しいに立つ。
Then God goes on to say this in verses 6 through 8 of Isaiah 40. A voice says,Declare. But what shall I declare? All life is like the grass. All of its grace and beauty fades like the wild flowers in the field. The grass withers, the flower fades as the breath of the Eternal One blows away. people are no different from grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. Nothing except the word of our God. It will stand forever.
神は永遠ではないが、神様の言葉は永遠であると。また人の命は儚く草のようなものであるが、神様の言葉は永遠であると、そのように言っています。
Nothing in our world is eternal, only God's word alone. Though his word will never pass away, our lives will pass away, like the grass and the flowers.
バビロニアにあった人々は、どのようにこの言葉を聞いたのでしょうか。きっと、この言葉を聞いて、安心したのではないでしょうか。すべてを失っていた中で、一つの揺るがぬ礎を見つけたのではないでしょうか。今の辛い時は必ず過ぎ去り、神様の言葉が現れる時が来る。なぜなら、神様の言葉は永遠で必ず果たされるから。ですから、神様の到来を待ち望む確かな希望を抱いているに違いません。また、イザヤ書40章9から11節にあるように、新たな神様の統治の始まり、また神様の勝利の配列に、
Can you imagine how the exiled Israelites heard these words? I think it gave them peace and a sense of comfort. In the chaos and in the disaster, they had lost everything, but they found a foundational truth that never changes. They came to believe that this time of darkness will end someday. The time that God's promise will be revealed will come, because God's word is eternal and it never ends. Finally, they could find hope in their waiting on God. It's like what is written in verses 9 through 11, where it says it was the beginning of God's rule over his people again. It was the time to join in the victory march of God.
実際にその後イスラエルの人々は故郷への帰還が叶い、その後アラノの声、バプテスマのヨハネがメシアの到来に備え道を整え、そしてそのメシアである救い主なるお方、キリストが人として現れてくださり、私たちをその身腕の中に招いてくださいました。バビロニアにあった信仰人の一人一人は、たとえその約束の実現をその時には完全に見れなかったとしても、その信仰は報われたと言っていいと思います。
Actually, after this time, the Israelites could return to their land. And much later, John the Baptist, the voice in the wilderness, came to prepare the way for the Messiah Jesus. And as we all know now, Jesus Christ came in flesh, and he won the battle. That was the promise that the exiled people of God had been waiting for.
ではこの40章、今現在を生きる私たち一人一人にはどのように聞こえますでしょうか。
So how does this prophetic message from Isaiah apply to us and to our lives today?
私たちはバビロニアにあった人々と近い神の一人子であるイエス・キリストが私たちの罪を贖い、新しい命を与えるために世に来てくださったことを知っています。そしてまた神の言葉なるキリストが天にて私たち一人一人のための準備を終えたら、再び呼びに戻ってきてくださると約束してくださったことを知っています。
A difference between us and the exiled Israelites in Babylon is that we know and have already experienced that Jesus Christ, God's one and only Son, came to earth to redeem us of our sin and to give us new life. And we know that Jesus, the Word of God,has returned to the Father in heaven to prepare a place for us and has promised that he will return to come and welcome us into that place.
そしてその永遠なるキリストは何度も忠告しています。目を覚ましていなさいと。天の国の現れの時はいつ来るかわからない。天変地異や戦争などの印が最後の時に迫る時には起こる。私たちはその神様の忠告言葉に耳を澄ませ、 その上に真剣に立っているでしょうか。そしてその瞬間を待ち望んでいるでしょうか。
We also know that the eternal Christ repeatedly tells us to stay awake and to be watching because we don't know the time of his return. But he has told us the signs of the end times, and we do know that we're living in those last days. So are we taking seriously his exhortation and living by and responding to his word? Have we prepared ourselves to receive the peace that will come when Jesus returns? And are we intentionally and purposefully living in anticipation of it?
ローマ書8章18節から25節を読んで一つの証しをして終わりにいたします。
Finally, I would like to read Romans chapter 8 verses 18 to 25 and close with a testimony.
現在の苦しみは将来私たちに表されるはずの栄光に比べると取るに足りないと私は思います。被造物は神の子たちの現れるのを切に待ち望んでいます。被造物は虚無に服していますが、それは自分の意思によるものではなく、服従させた方の意思によるものであり、同時に希望も持っています。つまり、被造物もいつか滅びへの隷属から解放されて、神の子供たちの栄光に輝く自由に預かれる方です。被造物がすべて今日まで共にうめき、共に生みの苦しみを味わっていることを、私たちは知っています。被造物だけでなく霊の発砲をいただいている私たちも神のことをされること、つまり体のあがなわれることを心の中でうめきながら待ち望んでいます。私たちはこのような希望によって救われているのです。見えるものに対する希望は希望ではありません。現に見ているものを誰がなお望むでしょうか。私たちは目に見えないものを望んでいるから忍耐して待ち望むのです。
Romans chapter 8 verses 18 to 25. Now I'm sure of this, the sufferings that we endure now are not even worth comparing to the glory that is coming and will be revealed in us. For all of creation is waiting, yearning for the time when the children of God will be revealed. You seeAll of creation has collapsed into emptiness, not by its own choosing, but by God's. Still, he placed within it a deep and abiding hope that creation would one day be freed from its slavery to corruption and experience the glorious freedom of the children of God. For we know that all creation groans in unison with birthing pains up until now. And there is more. It's not just creation.All of us are groaning together too. Though we have already tasted the first fruits of the Spirit, we are longing for the total redemption of our bodies that comes when our adoption as children of God is complete. For we have been saved in this hope and for this future. But hope does not involve what we already have or see. For who goes around hoping for what he already has? But if we wait expectantlyfor things we have never seen, then we hope with true perseverance and eager anticipation.
私の妻が妊娠しました。妻が赤ちゃんを産むために苦しんでいるのをよく見ます。その妻の苦しみは本当にひどいです。でもひどいからといって私たちの子供を殺そうと考えたことがあるかというと、一度もそんなことは思ったことはありません。
My wife Nicole is pregnant, and recently I can see the level of her physical discomfort growing as she carries the growing baby and prepares for birth. But even though I see her pain and her struggle, do you think it would ever cross my mind to end the life of our child to release her from that temporary pain? Absolutely not.
妻は痛みや苦しみの中にあっても、その新しい子供の誕生を楽しみにしています。夫である私といえば、妻を愛しているから、だから世話をします。できるだけすぐそばにいます。 できることはないかと話を聞き、時には励まします。彼女が食事を食べられなければ病院に連れて行くし、仕事ができなければその分2倍働きます。
Even with the physical pain and struggle, Nicole is excitedly anticipating and preparing for the birth of our baby. As her husband, I love her deeply, so I want to take care of her. As much as possible, I want to be with her. I want to listen to her and to see how I can support and encourage her. If she can't eat, I make sure that she gets the help at the hospital that she needs, and I will work double when she can't.
では、イエス様はどうでしょうか？もし私たちが将来の平和と栄光、新しい命のために今を苦しむ妊婦だとしたら、彼は私たちのために何をしてくださるでしょうか？彼はすべてを、できるすべてをしてくださると思います。そして最後まで、最後のその瞬間まで私たちの手を握っていてくれるのではないかなって思います。
So what about Jesus? How is Jesus for us? If we as the church are like that pregnant woman waiting with the discomfort and the pain, but waiting for that impending joyous birth of God's kingdom in fullness, a birth that will bring peace, glory, and new life. What would Jesus do? Of course, he will do everything and has already given everything sacrificially for us. He will hold our hand till the very end, until the very last moment when new life comes on the final day.
その握ってくださる手を見れば、私たちは待てるのではないでしょうか。その子供、私たちの誕生を、きっとまだ見ぬ子供の顔は命と平安と栄光で満ちているはずです。
And as we wait for the end of the struggle, we keep looking to Christ and His strong hand that holds us. When we wait to see the face of the newborn, a new heaven and a new earth, the new kingdom that we are born into, full of life, peace, and glory, that we haven't yet seen before, but we will receive it with joy.
共に平和を持って、その完全なる平和の誕生の時を期待して待ちましょう。
So as we receive the peace of God, let's continue in our season of expectation as we anticipate and prepare for God's shalom, His peace to be born in fullness in our midst and reaching throughout all of creation.